right, let's take our Bibles, please, and open to Ephesians chapter 6. I've been asked 100 times, did I catch any salmon? And the answer to that is no, did not. Well, you didn't see them because they were in the ocean. Oh, no, that's not till July, August. Yeah, when they come home to breed and die. Oh, yeah, I ate a lot. Yeah. I tell you, you get on those boats, that food is phenomenal. But they walk you to death. So, I weighed 200 pounds when we left. And I weighed 200.2 when I got back. So I gained 0.2 of a pound. All right? So that's not bad. But I did hook 3 salmon, king salmon, and they got off. They got off. One, I had it really close. You could see it, but I couldn't reach it. And it flipped and when it saw me and took off. We saw tons of whales. Lots of whales, those big humpbacks, that's an amazing sight, absolute amazing sight. We saw a lot of those, and I saw the day that I went fishing, I saw some orcas come up, and then we saw a bunch of otters laying on their backs and, feeding, and we pulled right up beside one of them. He's just sitting there eating a clam, and, looks up like, hey, what's up? It was just, it didn't care. Just laid there like, seen people 100,000 times, But we had a great time. Great time. If you can't enjoy the beauty of Alaska, there's something wrong with you. It is just amazing. Snow all over the tops of the mountains. And we saw 2 glaciers. We saw a bunch of glaciers, but 2 that the boat went over to, and so that was neat. So it was just a great trip. I recommend it highly, and if you want to go, let me know, and we'll all go together, all right? That sounds like a plan. All right, let's read our, scripture here tonight, and we'll stay in verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor. What's the next 2 words? Of God. All right. Now, I thought that we would be into the individual pieces of armor by now. But no. If you look at verse 13, he says, again, wherefore, and this is after he says that we wrestle against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. In verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor, next 2 words, of God. All right, so there it is. This is God's armor. And that's what I want to speak to you on tonight. The title of the message tonight is Notice It Is the Armor of God. All right, this is God's armor. This is what God provides for his people so that we don't have to be beaten down by the devil. This is the provision. You don't have to lose, all right? You don't have to be the victim. You don't have to be wiped out. Paul said that he, in Philippians, that he was knocked down, but he said, I'm not knocked out. And so he got back up, all right? And that's important. We're in this fight, we're in this battle, And I've had several people over the last weeks come to me and say, Pastor, Wednesday night's really been a blessing to me. It never really occurred to me that I was in this fight, that I was in this battle, until you started preaching on it. And now I'm aware of the conflict, and I see how the devil has come at me and how he comes at me on a regular basis. And folks, make no mistake about it, the reason he does is to get you down. He wants to knock you down. You see, you're not witnessing for the Lord if you're defeated all the time. And so he doesn't want us to be defeated. So here is what he provides. And notice, it is the armor of God. It's not the armor of Pastor Norris. All right? This is God's armor. It's not the armor of the Church of the Open Door. No, it is God's armor. Now, if I had an armor and I offered it to you, it would fail. I wouldn't, you know, my armor wouldn't work. But God's armor does. So we need to learn how to appropriate what God has made available to us so that we can be the victor and not the victim. So I want to make just one more point. It might take me two or three Wednesday nights to make this one point, but I want to make one more point about the armor that Paul encourages us to put on so we can stand against the wiles of the devil in this evil day. All right, so let's pray, and then we'll get right on to it. All right, let's pray. Father, we ask now your richest blessings to be upon us as we think about the fact that this armor is your provision. It is the armor of God. And so, Father, help us to understand that. Help us to realize that in order to be victorious in this battle that we're in with our enemy and your enemy, the devil, help us, Father, to realize the importance of understanding what this armor is and where it comes from and how it works. So I pray that you'll bless as we introduce this thought tonight. And Father, just guide and direct our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, you will notice here that the Apostle Paul is talking about, in verse 13, he is talking about withstanding in the evil day. Now, folks, listen, there has, since the Lord went to heaven, make no mistake about it, it's been an evil day. Right. All right? Paul himself talks about the first century when he was preaching, and John speaks of it as well, about how when they were alive, it was the last days. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years now. All right, so don't get confused by that. And through the years, I've had folks come and say, Pastor, what Paul mean here? Was he in the last days? Yes, these are the last days. And this is the age of the church. And this is it. All right? You look at Revelation and you will see in chapter 2 and chapter 3 the seven letters to the seven churches. And after that, there is no eighth church. There's only seven. It goes up to Laodicea, and that's it. So we're in, my opinion, the last days of the last days. All right? So if it was an evil day 2,000 years ago when Paul warned us about standing against the wiles of the devil, how much more evil is today's world? You see, we're living in a terrible, terrible world. No doubt about it. If you have ever read anything about the first century Roman Empire, you know that it was an evil day in which to live. And that is when Paul and John and the rest of the disciples walked with the Lord. And when they then watched the Lord ascend into heaven, and they began their earthly ministries. Now, folks, that being true, that it's an evil day, that being true, just imagine how much more evil must be the day in which we live today. This world is beyond comprehension. I don't know if you've ever been out to the left coast. All right? But let me tell you something, folks. That's a whole different world out there. I mean, we saw a guy come in the airport. He had on a T-shirt that had the pentagram on it. He was advertising himself as a disciple of the devil. And, you know, he was pierced from top to bottom, through his ears, through his nose, through his eyebrows, here, you know, in the septum of his nose. Oh, can't imagine that. And you could just look into his eyes. Nobody was home. He came walking right straight towards us and sat down just a little bit to our right. And I looked at him and he looked at me. Nobody home. That's what I thought as soon as I looked into his eyes. You know, there's nobody in there. That's our country. We have been in America in such a dearth of a famine of the Word of God that sin has lost its sinfulness. Everything goes. Anything goes. You know? And the culture which the devil has been working to create in our world today is being used by the devil to corrupt and to control the minds and hearts of people everywhere you look. Everywhere. It's just unbelievable. You know, I get in trouble every time I mention tattoos, but I got to say something here. Let me tell you something, folks. The Bible is against tattoos. God told his people, Israel, don't mark your body. All right? Don't mark your body. Don't brand yourself. And that's what a tattoo is. It's a brand. You are identifying. You are saying, I am a worldly-minded individual. That's what you're saying. You know, Michael Jordan back in the 80s started all this stuff with men wearing earrings and all that foolishness. Let me tell you something, folks. The world has taken over the church. Taken over the church. And it's sad, but that's our world today. And why? Because sin has lost its sinfulness. Liberalism is one of the most cancerous diseases that can infiltrate the mind of any person. It's a cancer, plain and clear. It can distort your thinking. It can control your behavior. It can cause you to devalue human life, and it must be filled with lying and deception in order to keep it alive. You know, it amazes me how over and over and over and over the lies of the liberal left in this country just rolls off their lips without any facts to back up what they're saying. No facts at all. I mean, no evidence. And sadly, in most cases, no pushback. No pushback. Simply because their spokesman on television in the liberal media just continued to spew the venomous lies, and they say them over and over and over and over until people hear it and think must be true. And that's where we are in our country, folks. I tell you, these liberals have gone on television and stated with worked up false fire and conviction that the president is a liar and a dictator and a fascist and a Nazi and Hitler, and that he wants to destroy democracy. He wants to be a king. No facts. And here's what they say. He must be stopped. That's why there's been 3 attempts to kill him. And who knows how many more that we have not been told about. All without facts. All without evidence. All without a pushback. And it's a shame that our country has gotten to this point. They have said, oh, he's a rapist. And that little gal on TV last week brought it up, that, and Trump stopped her. He stopped her. He said, whoa, 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 whoa. You're calling me a rapist? Do you hear yourself? Do you hear yourself? I've never raped anyone. And you know, what's comical is the fact the man's got so much money, he could never spend it all. And they lie, and so he just decided he's going to start suing them. $250 million here, $300 million there, and it goes to court, and the judges side with Trump. Why? No evidence. Can you prove this? Well, no. But you said it publicly. Well, I really didn't mean it. All right, $250 million. And ABC and NBC and the Clinton Broadcasting Company, you know, CBS. I mean, all of them, CNN, they've all been sued. And they just keep lying. They just keep doing it. And it's so sad, folks. None of it is true, but truth, listen to me now, here's our country, truth does not matter. If you say something long enough and loud enough, there will be a sympathizing element in the country who will believe it. And that's where we are. Nothing demonstrates this point than the modern drive-by media, as Rush Limbaugh used to call them. You know, a drive-by shooting, you just drive by and start shooting. Well, the drive-by media, they just drive by, shoot their bullets, and keep going. Doesn't have to be truth connected to it. Nobody's ever stood up to them. And so they just do what they want to do. But nothing demonstrates this evil mindset that has prevailed in America today like the homosexual agenda. Folks, listen, it's still in the Bible. I checked before I came in here. It's still there. All right? Homosexuality is an abomination in the eyes of God. Plain and simple. But boy, you better not get caught saying that. Why, they'll come after you with everything they got. When I was growing up, the homosexuals were in the closet. Today, they sit in Congress. Yeah. And for 8 years, they were in the White House. Everybody knew it. But boy, you better not say anything about that. Woo. This entire agenda, folks, is what is responsible for all of this transgender madness that's being forced upon our children in public school systems all over the country. And make no mistake, folks, God condemns homosexuality all through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. And when you read the Bible, you will notice that the sin of homosexuality all throughout the Bible has had God's harshest judgment poured out upon it. I mean, can you name another time when the heavens opened up and fire rained down upon a people because of their sin? What happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? That's right. So the impact of the world today is another thing that many people underestimate, its control and its power. And Christians get drawn into the web of deceit, and they do so because of a few factors. And in my humble opinion, factor number one is there are too many folks who never read their Bibles. You know, go in on after church on Sunday morning and lay it down and then come back. Where's my Bible the next Sunday morning? Honey, where's my Bible? Well, I don't know. Look where you laid it last. Well, it should have been laid in your lap. All right? Or on the coffee table beside your chair. Where's my Bible? And then, oh, here it is under all the newspapers and the magazines, and blow the dust off of it. Come on, let's go to church. And you know, it's I can understand new Christians, you know. When I say turn to, oh, I don't know, Obadiah, I can see a new Christian going, what do you say? Who died? Nobody died. The book is Obadiah. Oh, is that in here somewhere? Where's that at? And you'll see him flip. I can understand new Christians doing that. But seasoned Christians? Shame on us. We just don't read the Bible anymore. We're going to see over the next couple of Wednesday nights just how important it is to read and to learn and to get God's word in your mind and in your heart. Secondly, I think another problem today, a big problem today, is the fact that churches have compromised and have thrown in the towel on standing for the truth. They've thrown in the towel. People are changing convictions, you know, changing convictions. And there's no support from the local church to show folks the true way to walk with God. So in light of all these things that I've just stated, here is Paul's command, and that command is simple. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. And so I want to emphasize this evening that the fact that this is indeed God's armor. All right, first thing I want you to notice tonight, I want you to notice that Paul calls the armor of God, for a specific reason. There is a reason that he calls it the armor of God. You see, this is key. This is key to understanding the battle and the conflict that we're in. You see, nothing but the armor of God is able to help us in this battle. Nothing else. It's only the armor of God that's able to give us aid and assistance as we fight the devil. Nothing else can help us. There's no other protection. And the whole armor of God is what God gives, because he knows what we need in the battle against the devil in this evil age. So if God knows what we need and God says, here is the whole armor of God, take it. And we just sit back, well, I didn't even know I was in a battle. Yeah, you're in a battle. Well, I didn't realize that. Well, huh, what kind of battle am I in? Well, you're in a spiritual battle. Well, I didn't know that. And how many Christians have that mindset? They don't even realize. I think there's a lot of preachers that don't even realize that the devil's after them. A lot of preachers. And somebody comes along and says, brings it up in a deacon's meeting. Well, we need to change the Bible. Well, what's wrong with the one we got? The pastor says. Well, you know, it's old-fashioned. Amen. Amen. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Oh, well, it's outdated. No, it's not. No, it's not. How can something that is eternal be outdated? Huh? Write that down. Write that down. I need to remember that. Write that down. If somebody doesn't write down, I'll forget it. Yeah. How can something that is eternal be outdated? Oh, well, we need to get, you know, the young people are turned off by the King James Bible. That's not true. That is not true. Somebody told you that. All right? Somebody told you that, and you know what I said a moment ago. If you keep hearing something over and over and over, you start to believe it. Yeah. Now, we're going to stick with the Bible. The Bible. The Word of God. Yeah. And if you turn to the fly leaf, it says King James Version. That's what we're going to stick with. All right? But it's called the armor of God for a reason, for a specific reason, because this armor is provided to us by God himself. God gave it to us. And that is the meaning of the phrase. In other words, God does not leave us to our own devices and to our own resources We do not have to think of something new. Everything that we need is provided for us by the Lord in this armor. And it's eternal. It was for Paul, but 2,000 years later, it's for Tim. All right? It was for John 2,000 years ago. He stood on Patmos and declared his love for the Word of God, and he took his stand for the Word of God. That's why he was sent to Patmos. He said so in the first chapter, that he was sent there because of his stand for God's Word. If it's good enough for John to stand on the Word of God, it'll be good enough for us to stand on the Word of God. That's right. Well, I can't understand the King James Bible. Yeah, it's rough, I know. Man, it's really rough. If you look at, you're in chapter 6, look over at chapter 5 for just a minute. And let's see, let's just look at verse 15 of chapter 5, all right? Just simple little verse here, all right? See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Wow, that's tough, isn't it? I mean, are you having a hard time with that verse? I mean, there's some big words in there, don't you think? You see that word circumspectly? Well, we know what a circle is, don't we? And we know what are these? Spectacles. All right? So we know what a circle is, and we know what spectacles are. Walk circumspectly. In other words, when you walk, you be looking all around. Because the devil's going to knock you in the head if you're not careful. How many of you, when you were kids, your mother said, she's going to knock you in the head? You remember that? My mom used to say that all the time. I'm going to knock you in the head. Why? I'm your child. Why would you beat me in the head? You know what I mean. Yeah, it's child abuse. I know what that is. Oh, we used to give her a hard time about those things. Circumspectly. Boy, that's a tough one, though. Now, I can understand why you might want to change Bibles, because that's a big word. But look at all the rest of those little words there. See. You know, see, that just means to pay attention. You know, pay attention to. And then... Wonder what that means. See then. Well, if you'll look up, he said in verse 13, he said, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Boy, there's all kinds of big words there. Wonder what they mean. No, folks, we're not ignorant. How many of you graduated high school? How many of you are not sure you did? All right? Yeah. How many of you went to college? Yeah. More than half. How many of you went to the School of Hard Knocks? Yeah, we all went there. Folks, I tell you, I would be embarrassed to say that I couldn't understand the King James Bible. You see, they researched it. You know what they found out? The King James Bible is written on a fifth grade level. In other words, a fifth grader, you know that Jeff Foxworthy show back years ago, are you smarter than a fifth grader? I found out I wasn't. I found out I wasn't. Yeah, right on time. You know, 10 minutes and we're finished. So, yeah. But you see, folks, it's not difficult. But, well, we just think that, you know, we'd attract more young people if we had an easier to read Bible. You want an easier to read Bible? Well, I'm going to tell you how you can get one. You sit down with your King James Bible and you read it until you're familiar with what it says. And you will find out that there is a built-in dictionary in your King James Bible. So if you get to one of these great big fancy-smancy words that you don't understand, usually right there in either the verse itself or the paragraph that verse is in, you're going to find the definition explained to you in the scriptures themselves. It's called the built-in dictionary in the King James Bible. None of the other versions and or perversions have it. You'll only find it in the King James Bible. All right? That make sense to you? So, in other words, folks, we don't need a new Bible. What we need to do is learn the one we got. All right? It doesn't need rewritten. It only needs reread. Reread. And we will not win the battle against our great, wily enemy by our own minds, by our own devices, or by our own reasoning skills, or by our own arguments, or our education, or by our common sense, or lack of common sense, or by our psychology, or our own willpower, or anything else that we might dream up to try to use in the great spiritual conflict that we're in. The only thing that's going to work is the armor of God. Now, we need to get that settled in our minds. The only way that we can ever obtain victory over the wicked one is to make use of the whole armor of God. You see, that armor has been especially designed to protect us. And we must realize that we are dealing with a foe who is inferior in power to only the three persons of the Godhead. Everybody else on the planet, he is stronger than, he is wiser than, he is more wily, he is more deceptive, he is more destructive, and you and I are no match for him in our own strength. So I'm telling you, folks, we need the armor of God. The armor of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are the only three who are greater and stronger than the devil. So we are dealing with a foe who is far superior to any of us in brilliance, in mind, but also in power. In power. Therefore, nothing less than God's protection is adequate to our great need. To our great need. But also, folks, notice that this armor is a very special type of armor. You remember what I taught you about verse 12? What kind of a battle are we in? A spiritual battle. Very good. Yes, yes, we are in a spiritual battle. And notice that this armor is a very special type of armor. You see, the terms themselves indicate this to us. Look carefully at, look carefully at verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. Ah, truth. Can you reach out and grab a hold of truth? Can you hold it, truth, in your hands? No. No. Where do you get truth? You get it here. Where do you put it? You put it here. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Now, that's not the thing that beats in there. Your heart is your mind. That I might not sin against thee. So these terms indicate that. Look at the next one. And then having on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Can you go to the store and buy righteousness? You can't, can you? No, that's something you got to learn. You got to learn what's right. And we know what's right. Good grief. We're not dumb. We know what's right. And then the next one, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then the shield of faith, and then the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, all these things are the armor of God. And they're a very specific type of armor that God gives us. So clearly, there is only one kind of person who can ever use this kind of armament. And that is the only kind of person who can ever put on the armor of God and use it as it was given to be used is the believer, the Christian. You know, real quickly, you have a family member. Let's say you have a family member. And your family member is just, I mean, the devil doesn't just attack Christians. He attacks everybody. All right, understand that. But you see, when he comes after us, we have help. We have the whole armor of God. But let's say you have a family member and you see the devil coming after your family member. And you look at their situation, you think, man, I got the answer for you. But then you think to yourself, they're not going to believe what I got to say. And you know that you're probably right. Because you see, Paul said in 1 Corinthians that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man hears the things of God and their foolishness to him. So you can't walk up to your family member who's going through a disaster in his life or in her life and say to them, I know what can help you. Oh, yeah, what's that? The breastplate of righteousness. They have no clue what you're talking about. No clue. But you see, we know what it is. We know what it is. We know that there's not, you know, a breastplate out there that has righteousness written across the top where you buy it, get it off of Amazon, it shows up at your door, and you put it on and go, okay, I'm ready. Ready for the fight. No, that's symbolic. The fact that it's a breastplate means it's protection. It's protection Everybody knows, every soldier knows, you got to have a breastplate. You got to have something to protect your organs. So what does a Christian have? Righteousness. Where do you learn righteousness? In the Bible. But if you don't read the Bible, you won't know anything. You understand what I'm saying? So that's where we're going. That's where we're going with this. I hope that makes sense to you. All right, we'll stop right there. And we'll pick it up next week. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word. And I pray that you'll bless this to our hearts. Give us understanding of what we have heard this evening. And Father, help us to take that whole armor. Father, bless us as we learn about it. Bless each and every one as we learn how to put this armor on and how to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Father, certainly this is an evil age, so we need the armor that you have provided for us so that we can be victorious. So bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.